Welcome back to another off-season episode of NBL Now. We're continuing our trek around the country to catch up with each team as they prepare for NBL 25. It's been a hectic off-season so far, and now we find ourselves heading up to the far north. Cairns Taipans, Coach Adam Ford, nice enough to join me. Fordy, thanks for your time. Let's quickly chat about last season before we talk about how exciting it is to build towards NBL 25. Not the results you were after personally, I'm sure, and the team. But now you've had a chance to review it. What were some of the takeaways and more on the positive side that can make you look forward to this NBL 25 season?
Yeah, definitely. After, obviously, an extensive review, you always want to, you know, reflect on the good things and the bad things. And I guess the positive is that, you know, it's no secret, right, that we operate on one of the lowest budgets. But, you know, to basically ratio it out in terms of spend per wins, you know, we sit second. And so with all the things that we can fix, it's nothing to do with budget, you know, the day-to-day operations, the type of players we want to bring in, the way I went about coaching these guys and balance throughout the roster. So all the things that we wanted to fix are very fixable. And the first real piece to, you know, identify was what did work and what can we continue on rolling to next season. And obviously it was important to take up Jonah's option. That was a must do. You know, the extension of Sam Wardenburg and Taron Armstrong. And also with AK, you know, statistically you looked at his numbers, and for a team that we were that struggled offensively, it wasn't the case for AK. And so we want to continue to expand and give him more of a platform to showcase his talent, knowing that we're better for him. So, you know, that was a real positive moving forward. And now it's just a matter of filling in the missing pieces.
Before we chat about those missing pieces and some of the other new pieces you've acquired already in the offseason, a couple of names you just mentioned. Firstly, Sam Wardenburg. We know he broke on to the scene. We know what we can expect. We've seen how good he can be already, knowing that it's untapped potential. And no doubt would have been frustrated with the inconsistencies on the floor last year. But for him to have to work through that so early in his career is only going to be beneficial to him in the long run. What kind of conversation did you have with him last year? I guess you talk about extending him, telling him basically that our success here is a lot of that is going to be around you, and we're going to need you to be at your best, and we trust that you're going to do that for us.
First, I guess, it does fall with me. Playing him in the position that he prefers. You know, we never intended him being our starting five. Much like the year before with, you know, Keanu, I think Sam had a good rookie year because he got to play four and spots of five. We were able to stretch it, but primarily, you know, and the bigs are interchangeable, but matchup-wise and where he plays his best basketball is that stretch four. And so, you know, there was things within the roster and the balance that had him playing a little bit out of position. And while it's not necessarily a bad thing on the offensive end, I don't particularly want Sam to have to battle the Tyrell Harrisons and the Al Williams of the leagues. So, you know, the first important thing that we spoke about and how he was going to be such an important piece for us moving forward was the type of five man that we're going to bring in. And obviously, you know, going early on Tanner Groves was a large piece of why we wanted to get that right fit early, knowing what we had moving forward and that these two guys are going to complement each other. But Tanner's going to do a lot of the heavy lifting when it comes to the bigger body matchups. And so now we can have Sam doing what Sam does well defensively, which is switching out and trying different coverages. But the good thing is he's here now. Like, we just been on the floor this morning. He's here working out. He's obviously getting ready for his national team duties with New Zealand got the Olympic qualifying tournament. But there's a real level of focus, and it's kind of cool to put that work in with him as we build, you know, the confidence up in him and in me and the relationship we have, knowing that he is going to be such a massive part for us and our success.
And again, the youth of him and how early it is to face this kind of adversity and to build on it is an exciting thing. And speaking of which, you mentioned Taron Armstrong as well. There's no secret that, I guess pressure is one way to put it, but the expectation that everybody had on Taron coming out, forgetting at times, one, this is a kid who's just left college halfway through. I mentioned a kid, he is still a kid. And the injury at the start of the season, when you're trying to transition into professional, And then figuring it all out on the fly is not as easy said as done. But then halfway through the season, it seemed like some sort of switch flicked with him. And in the back half, we saw this is a kid who's, again, untapped potential, but his career is going to be unbelievable. And we've only started to scratch the surface.
I guess it was never really in question with Taron too. For those who know him, he's another level, especially on the mental side. You know, he's like the old school of, you know, Damian Martin, Adam Gibson, those type of Australian guards, Delhi, you know, where they just have this unwavering focus and confidence, and that's backed by the body work they put in. So, you know, it was unfortunate with the injury at the start of the season, and it was slow to get him going, but it was without question that he was always going to, find his potential, and his ceiling's so high. So, you know, as he's over in the States right now, you know, doing his draft workouts and working out for NBA teams, it's important for us to make sure that if he does come back and he's suiting up for us as the Cairns Taipans as our starting point guard, that we have all those pieces around him that's going to help elevate his game to another level. And, you know, that's going to be a large part of what this offseason is making sure that those pieces fit.
Let's talk a little bit about his opportunity now overseas, because he has been playing well and showcasing exactly what he can do. And a lot of fans, not just for Taipans, but this happens a lot with how, again, the NBL has grown into an opportunity where people will get looked at and people will get those opportunities in the States especially. But it's not going to take you and the Taipans by surprise if that conversation comes knocking and he gets his opportunity in the NBA, whereas the roster being built for NBL 25, if he wasn't there and he got picked up, it's not going to shock you and you can prepare for it now.
Selfishly, I want him back, right? But it's a win-win. It's a win-win scenario for us, where if Taron comes back, great. We've got an outstanding local point guard that's going to steer this whole thing. If Taron gets his opportunity, you know, we've got two guys from our roster last year that have been elevated into the NBA, and so it makes for a pretty good recruiting tool. But this is where, you know, Rob Edwards comes in, you know, as a bit of an insurance policy, as secondary ball handler, that we're not going to be caught with our pants down. And then the last import spot, we will wait. And if Taron does get his opportunity, we'll go import point. But if Taron does come back, then that import three man can virtually be whatever we want. And, you know, that, you know, opens up a lot of great opportunities. But, you know, we've always been supportive of Taron. And the great thing with Taron is he's been real open with his communication, keeping us updated with his movements and what's the latest. But, you know, it's just exciting to be part of his journey, whether it's for 1 year or hopefully another year or and whatever moving forward. Because if NBA doesn't happen for him this offseason, it's definitely happening for him in the short term future. Because again, when I refer to his level of mindfulness and his focus, it is very Delhi like in a sense of how he goes about being a professional athlete for such a young man. It's really impressive.
I do want to ask you quickly before we move on. You talk about that mindfulness and where his head's at, and I guess that's a level of maturity as a professional. Being aware of that before he joined the Taipans and then seeing it firsthand, how did you react to that? Was there kind of moments where you sit in the office being like, bloody hell, this kid is so far wiser beyond his years in terms of an athlete and professional?
Because, guys, you get lip service sometimes, right? You know, you hear from past coaches, or you speak to the agent, or, you know, you speak to the individual, and, you know, he can be a bit of lip service. And then when you've got this young 22-year-old rookie that's, you know, not afraid of, you know, competition, conflict, and holding his teammate, genuinely holding people accountable and his teammates accountable, and you see the power shift, and you're like, wow, this is real. Like, this guy's actually about it. It's quite refreshing. And so, you know, I would hedge my bets and I'd back Taron, you know, to wherever he's going, jump on board, because yes, it's real. It's really real with him. And, yeah, selfishly, yeah, I hope he's back. He's going to make me look like a good coach if he's back. So anything to help me out in that regards.
You mentioned Rob Edwards and Tanner Groves, two imports already signed. It's I wouldn't say it's unusual, because we have seen a lot of movement in this free agency, but for the Taipans especially to have two imports locked in, I speak now, but it's happened a few weeks ago. It's ahead of the curve. Were these conversations already happening? Were you wanting to get a head start on this? How did it come about so quickly since the end of the last season?
We definitely wanted to get a head start. I mean, with Summer League now, it's so many more obstacles. And even with the G League in itself, the standard G League contract's 45K. And if the guy gets an E10, he's got a 75K kicker on top of it. And then if you get a two-way, it's $500,000. So there's a real incentive for guys to stick around in the G League, especially after college for 2-3 years, because they're right on the doorstep of NBA. Now you add in all the European teams and the Asian teams, and there's a massive influx of income for players now, incentive to play in Asia. It's a real feeding frenzy. What I liked about our process was we spent 2 months exploring what it would look like with Taron. So, with Tanner. So we contacted his previous coaches. We contacted, Dave Patrick was, he worked with him in Oklahoma. So we got a great reference from him, even talking with his current German coach, who I actually coached against in the state league in WA, chatting with him and finding out him as a human. And so you spend 2 months really getting to know someone, because the alternative is if you do sort of wait till summer league, you're a bit rushed. And I like to be thorough, and it's hard to do all these character references in 2-3 days. And so, it was important to find guys that wanted to go international. Rob Edwards is another example of that, where he's 27 and the majority of his career has been in the G League. But he's ready to transition to play international basketball. He spent half a season in Germany. So he got that experience, and there's a real level of hunger and desire with him to make an impact immediately. But again, you get to learn about him and find out about what his characteristics are and his work ethic and everything else by spending the 3.5 weeks we did on him, chatting with former teammates and GMs and scouts and G League. And you walk away with a real confident decision to go, why wait? Like, if these guys are ready to go international and, we can provide a platform and an opportunity for them to excel, what am I really waiting for at summer league if I feel like these guys are the perfect fit now? So it's the body of work that we can put in, knowing that we're making a real calculated decision. And timing-wise, it works out well in their career to make the move to come to the NBL.
It's fascinating to hear you talk about, I guess, the way you recruit and what you look for, because everybody does it differently. And again, you talk about the market of Cairns and what you're trying to look for in particular with your style of play, your style of coaching, but we look at your track record, and whether it's finding someone who needs a breakout opportunity, whether it's someone who needs a second chance. And I mean, the list writes itself for guys who have come in and proven and found success. What are the key things you look for when you're recruiting players, whether it be imports or locally? Because it's not the same as another club. It's not the same as another coach.
Yeah. Timing and fit is really important. Obviously, a bit of luck. You need a bit of luck to fall your way, because sometimes the unexpected happens and you get a guy that wins most improved player 2 years in a row. And, you maybe thought one, you think you were going to get two, right? But, for example, like Corin Galloway's an easy one, right? Like, we know he's going to be good. You know he's going to be good. Everyone in the league knows he's going to be good. But Jackson McCoy for us, I think timing-wise is really good, because as we sit here and talk about Taron Armstrong, who's this really defensive-minded 6'5 point guard who can get downhill, and create for others. So is Jackson. Jackson's a 6'5 point guard who's great at getting downhill, and what his strengths and weaknesses are very similar to Taron. So as we look to fill out this roster with shooters around Taron to help open up the driving lanes for him, Jackson's going to have those same driving lanes open up for him with the same type of players around him. So, would this situation here in Cairns be the same for Jackson last year or next year or a different season? Who knows? But in terms of the way this is filling out and the way the roster is being built, this is a great opportunity for Jackson to really showcase what he's capable of doing and take a big leap in his career.
It's interesting you talk about how, I guess, the opportunity for someone 1 year might not be the same for another, and for whatever reason that is. I don't want to say it's a money ball type, but again, it does sound like when you look at exactly the pieces and trying to complement. It seems more and more, as we see the Taipans, and you like to call it the factory, and success that individuals have as well as the team along the journey, that not just agents are going to be reaching out saying, I think my player would work out well, but maybe even players as well saying, hey, I want to play for you. I think that Cairns is the next step for me. And I feel like we get to the point now where you said, look, it might not be this year. It could be we could have a chat next year, or you probably missed your opportunity last year. Is that how it is?
Yeah. You know, there's been like there's a great talent pool of college kids coming out. And it's interesting because, you know, we obviously don't offer the same amount compared to some other teams. And so there's an expectation maybe from players or agents that they're going to get guaranteed minutes or more playing opportunity. And while that may be the case for some athletes, it's not for everybody. And so, you know, like to turn away some high-level talent guys to say, hey, I think you're good. But, you know, Bull Qual, for example, you know, he blew up onto the scene, and not everyone can be a starting rookie and break the three-point record in their rookie year. No doubt they can do it, but, you know, I've already got that spot filled. You know, they've already got that two guard, or I've already got that four man. And so, you know, let's pick this up in a couple of years' time. You know, similar to KG, you know, there's been a courtship for many years with KG. And I know when he was a free agency after his time in New Zealand, you know, we didn't have a spot then. And so it would have been unfair of me to bring him up here then, knowing we had Keanu in his second year at Cairns and Majuk Dang was, you know, on the roster. We brought in Sam Wartenberg. And so there wouldn't have been a big opportunity for KG then. But KG now, right, we do have that spot available, and there is an opportunity here. And so to really capitalize on his skill set, knowing the style of play that we want to do and the minutes that are available, this is where timing-wise it aligns.
You might be the driver of the KG bandwagon, but I'm well and truly on board. I've been there for a while. I think he's going to flourish in your system. To hear you talk about college kids, and I, like, sometimes I wake up, I read things, and Alex Dukas was a Cairns Taipan. I'm not sure how close that was. I'm sure everybody's expecting him to land in the NBL at some point in his career, but talk to us a little bit about that. Is that eventuating? What's happening there?
Well, out of all the college prospects, that was one that I really wanted, but I, hand on heart, we never got any form of communication. You know, he's been an enigma in a sense of trying to get hold of him. And I've not spoken. I even got to the point where I reached out to other NBL clubs and GMs and been like, are you able to get hold of this guy? But through, obviously, just through the grapevine and the agency that's repping him, he's wanting to explore, you know, a different market overseas. And no doubt he's going to be successful. He's an outstanding athlete. He's going to be tapping on the door for a Boomers call up. But no, when I woke up one morning and saw that it was close to a done deal, I wished it had. I felt like it was a dream, but no, that was one of the rumors that I did wish was true. But hand on heart, yeah, we haven't spoken even at any length, let alone being able to get a deal done. But maybe I still got two spots left. So if he wants to make a last minute phone call, I'll definitely take it.
There we go. I'll take some of the credit for that if that occurs as well. Speaking of those last spots, you mentioned that you wait potentially to see what happens with Taryn around the import, but what are you looking for to fulfill this roster going forward? We're a few months out from the Blitz and then Hoops Fest, so I'm sure we're going to blink and be there. What's the last couple of pieces, I guess, or one main piece that the Taipans need?
Yeah, you know, we're young again. And so, you know, there's a couple of different avenues you can go because the free agency is so rich with some high-level guys that are left on the books, right? So, you know, Jared Bairstow, who has a reputation as an everyday guy, you know, we've definitely looked to explore that avenue and how would that look, knowing that with such a young front court, you know, to talk to a guy that is, you know, just been in so many successful environments and also know his approach to work ethic and nutrition, is that one route we want to go? There's talent, right? You know, guys like DJ Mitchell still flying around, but is there a position available where, you know, it's going to benefit him with minutes available? And then you go again, you go second chances. You know, there's guys in our own backyard right now here playing in Cairns. This is such a spoiler for choice, I guess, as a coach. And we'll be holding an open trial on June 18th. We're inviting some of these guys up to have a look at and, you know, get more of a closer look, but also get to know them, you know, get to chat with them because some of these guys I haven't built any type of form of communication relationship with. So it'll be good to see what they're like as human beings. But we won't make any rush. It's really important that, you know, these last two spots obviously have to have a real particular mindset, because our main nine is pretty good, you know, and it's about filling out those complementary pieces and those last two local spots. That's going to enrich it, complement it, but obviously they get something from it.
Forty, lastly, before I let you go, you mentioned a couple of names there. And in terms of the Taipans fan base, which we've seen, and how fun and the enjoyment of they watching everybody get up and down the floor, the style of play, there's always that element of frustration that, oh, we've lost Book or we've lost Keanu Pinder. But you've been on the front foot understanding that that is the way the professional basketball is, where those opportunities come. But we've also seen that the next person that the Taipans fan base is going to love is just around the corner. And that style of play, that buy-in, is always going to be there while you're coaching that team.
Yeah, you know, it's how we stay competitive. You know, it's a fluid market, and when guys get good, you know, more opportunities become available, not just domestically but abroad. You know, Jonah Antonio, you know, people are going to be dismissive of him, and all I say is just wait to see what he's going to do. He's a guy that's in the gym right now, and he's been working with us and working with the coaches, and similar to Sam Wartenberg, there's a real chip on the shoulder. And the difference is, I've put that chip on the shoulder for Jonah. He's had to wait his time the last 3 years. I've put him through some crap, and he's come out the other end with this real focus. So at your own peril, be dismissive of Jonah Antonio, because he's got to, you know, he's going to let some people know what he's about in the first couple of rounds in.
I did see the clip pop up again from his three, I think it was, in Adelaide. So I'm sure we're going to see it. I'm looking forward to that. 40, good luck for the rest of the offseason, and good luck for NBL 25. We'll chat before then, but I appreciate your time.
Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been NBL Now. We'll continue our trek around the country with an episode coming very soon.